Continue to press on and continue to be faithful. When we come with an expectancy, God will pitch up and He'll meet us at our point of needs. That's what makes church worthwhile coming, because God pitches up. And we thank the Lord for His presence here this morning. We do not take for granted the privilege that we have and the absolute luxury that we have. We have to get together casually like this, just to enjoy each other's company, to laugh together, have a cup of coffee or tea or something cool to drink, to fellowship with each other and to catch up. But let's never forget that Jesus is the reason for us getting together. Can you say amen? We're busy with the theme or the topic of keeping our eyes on Jesus and our foundation scriptures from Hebrews 12 verse 1 and 2. It says we must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that means there's many people that have gone before us that have been doing this for a long time. Let us get rid of the things that hinder us. I'm paraphrasing now. Let us get rid of the things that stop us from getting on with God, and let us look to Jesus, who completes this for us and makes it all worthwhile. And last week, Lord help me. Hallelujah. I think it's not like that. I remember when I started going to certain churches before I gave my life to Jesus, jy ontmoet iemand daar buite en dan jy groet hom en jy raak so half en half bietjie gewoond aan hoe sy stem is, nê. Sy stem is dan so. Klim hy agter daai kansel, papa. Dan verander daai stem heeltemal. Dan word daar 'n ander stem. Die Here, die Here daar. So I just try to keep a constant. I am a church. I must be like that at home. I must be like it. Yeah, so, hallelujah. So, we looked at some lessons from an experience that the disciples had when they were on a little speedboat. They didn't go on the QE2 cruise ship. Jesus said to them, let's get to the other side. We're just going to go through that passage of Scripture just again quickly this morning, if you weren't with us last week. It's from Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, and we looked at like seven aspects of that passage of Scripture, and this morning we're going to focus on one of them from a little bit of a different perspective. And it says, from the NLT, it says, as evening came in verse 35, Jesus said to His disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. And so they took Jesus in the boat and started out. Other translations say He was already in the boat. And leaving the crowds behind, although there were other boats that followed. But soon a fierce storm came up, and high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. And Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with His head on a cushion. And the disciples woke Him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? And when Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind, and He said to the water, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then He asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And verse 41 says, the disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey Him. And last week we just looked at seven aspects. The fact that Jesus has a purpose and a plan for our lives. He said, I'll get you at the other side. And then we see that Jesus led by example. It says because He was already in the boat. And then we see that they were right smack bang in the middle of doing God's will, and yet still there was a storm. You'd think that if you're doing your all for Jesus, and you're busy doing exactly what God says you must do, die duivel gaan ons heeltemal wegbly van jou af. Is dit nie so nie? We think like that. But Racine's laughing, it's true. Life is not like that. Life has proven otherwise, that you want to get the devil's attention, start living for Jesus. Start living for Jesus and you're going to get His attention. You see, if He's got you at a place where He doesn't have to worry about you because He knows you think you're going to heaven, but you're actually on your way to hell, hy gaan jou uitlos. But start living for Jesus, and then you're going to see the devil come for you. Why? Because you're a threat to Him, and you're a threat to the kingdom of darkness, and He doesn't like you because you start acting like Jesus, thinking like Jesus, speaking like Jesus, and doing the things of Jesus. And then we see that their boat served them well just until it didn't serve them well anymore. The boat was fine until it wasn't. It was fine until it wasn't. And like that, remember last week we spoke about that very, very famous, well-known preacher. Remember we spoke about him. And what did he say? He said that everything that we're used to is going to be tested to the max. Everything that we depend on is going to be tested to the max. Sodat ons op 'n punt kan kom in ons lewens waar ons kan nie anders dan nie as om op God staat te maak. When everything is going to be tested to the max, so we can learn to trust God completely. And then we saw that Jesus was with them and he was asleep. And we wondered, why was he actually asleep? Maybe it's because they weren't spending time with him. Maybe Jesus is asleep in your life because you're not intimate with the Lord. And then we see that sometimes when this nag rondom jou, die hele hel breek los, you start to wonder and question the promises of God. So, you know, does God really think about me? Does weet hy van arme ou ek hierso in Pitsonewater of Duncanville of Vereniging of Valdriehoek of wherever. SE of CE whatever. Weet hy van my? And they started to wonder, God, like, don't you care that we're about to die? So these things happen. And then what I want to focus on this week is the following aspect. We realized that these were experienced fishermen. It's not like it was the first time out on the waters. It's not like the first time a storm broke out, like there'd never been a storm up to that point. They were experienced fishermen. They'd been in storms before. So, let's look at this a little bit this morning, shall we? How many of you have heard of the expression, getting caught with your pants down? Now, I'm a practical preacher, so I'm going to demo. No. Remain calm. Don't leave the building. Stay seated. Getting caught with your pants down. I wonder, why on earth did the disciples wait until that boat was so full of water and their lives were so close to being over? Only then they did decide to wake Jesus up. You see, you don't find yourselves in the water and all of a sudden, like in a oog, blink, kunk, there's sunshine and it's calm seas, and the next minute after you've blinked, it's donderbuie and thunder and lightning and wind and crashing waves. It comes little bit by little bit. You sense it starts getting a little bit darker. The wind speed picks up. Maybe the smell in the air changes. The temperature drops. All of these things tell you, daar kom groot. For the sake of the recording, daar kom groot moeilikheid. Die mense kan nie sien wat hier aangaan nie. These things come slowly, a little bit. But why did they wait until the storm had broken out? Now I submit to you, they weren't on a surfboard. Hello, can we agree on that? There was a boat, it had sides. There was a certain depth to that vessel. It was wave after wave after wave. And when they were about to die, then, oh, maybe we should wake Jesus up. So maybe you've been caught spiritually in your life with your pants down. Maybe you've been caught, Jesus is waiting, longing for you to just come to me. Why is it that we first try anything and everything first, and then when none of that works, then we say, okay, let me now go on my knees and seek the Lord. Why do we do that? Surely we should have our things in order before the enemy comes for us. Here's the story, you see, of this king. It says this, now listen, there's nothing wrong with doctors. God uses people to perform miracles. Can we say amen? So you can't say, oh, well, I'm trusting God. If God tells you to do this, fine. Then throw all the medicines out and trust God to supernaturally heal you. It's like that story of the floods came and the waters were going higher and higher. And they warned the people, listen, the water had gotten in front of the houses where the cars couldn't drive on the streets anymore. So a speedboat comes to rescue the oak in his house. He says, no, I'm trusting the Lord. And say, okay, fine. And the waters go higher and the speedboats come and go. And then the waters get a little bit higher and another boat comes and they want to rescue the man. And now he's on his way climbing up on his roof. He says, no, I'm trusting God. I'm not going to get on the boat, thanks, but I'm trusting God to rescue me. and the speedboat goes. And then the water's really, really high. And the ochre's like on the top of his roof. And then a helicopter comes. And they drop a ladder. And they speak over the thing. Hey, come climb the ladder. We come to rescue. He says, no, I'm trusting God. God has sent 2 speedboats and a helicopter. Hello. God always has and always will use people. If God tells you to throw the medicines away, fine. But he's given man wisdom and given us ability to discover certain things, that certain things help us. Doctors can help us. And he has a situation. So I'm not knocking doctors or medicine. They have their time and their place. But my wife and I are very, very, very different. We've got a branch of Dis-Chem in our bathroom. No, it is. It's open 24/7. Whether there's load shedding or not, it's available. You can go there and Dis-Chem. Stario in die gesig. Daar's net pulletjies en roompies en goetertjies en tuistertjies. And it's wonderful. But I'm not like that. First and foremost, I just go to the Lord, and it's not right or wrong. It's just she is she and I is I. And she does things her way and I do my things my way, even though I'm always right. And but Colette, you know, if she feels a headache coming along, wherever she'll go, she knows what to do and just take this. And she's always got something in her, I don't know, it's the handbag, but I don't know, handbags, that's a different thing altogether, that there. But she's got stuff in there, and people know that if they need something, just go to Colette. Colette's got something in her vehicle, although she's prepared for that kind of thing. She's prepared. And Jan's this king, he experiences, some translation says, a malady. Hy het moeilikheid opgetel in sy lewe. Things were going a little bit wrong for him. He got a sickness and an illness in his feet. In 2 Chronicles 16 in verse 12, it says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa developed a serious foot disease. And yet even with the severity of his disease, listen to this, he did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to the physicians. He only turned to the physicians. He didn't seek the Lord's help. And you read that passage of scripture further, what happened? He died. He died. Why? Because he didn't seek the Lord's help. So I wonder this morning, my brother, my sister, where are you in your walk with God? Are you waiting for the boat and the vessel of your life to fill up to the point where it's like only now you want to wake Jesus up? Or are you having intimacy with Jesus and a conversation with Jesus and just, I'll say it respectfully, hanging with Jesus, like just doing your walk with God on a daily basis, in the daily grind of things with Jesus every day? Or are you waiting for the next severe storm to come? And King Asa died as a result. Jesus teaches us this parable in Luke chapter 6 about a man who builds a house. Let me know. If you know anything about building, the most important part of the building is the flat screen TV inside, right? No. Maak jy saak wat jy binne in daai vertrek het nie, as die fondasie nie reg is nie, nee. You're gonna pick, you can have a state-of-the-art roof, solar panels, whatever. If the foundation is not right, it's a matter of time. There's a piece of ground that we looked at so that we could purchase to build a church, and we wondered, like, why has nobody built there? Until we found out, because of the ground. The ground is not stable. And I've learned some things recently about building. They can build things on sea sand. Did you know that? Look at that hotel in Dubai that looks like a cell. It's called something Al Arab, the Burj Al Arab, Burk Al Arab, or whatever it's called. It's built on sand, loose sand. There's ways of doing it. They've learned from science how to do that. They can build sand. There's a bridge. It's in Greece. The foundation is just mud and water. And they build on things like that today, guys. But in general, when it comes to us, for our little dwellings and our homes, they don't go to such great lengths. The foundation needs to be right. And Jesus teaches us about this oak. Luke 6:47, it says, and I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me and listens to my teaching and then follows it. Yeah, there's keys to what Jesus says. That's when somebody comes to me He listens to my teaching and then he follows it. Before we look further at that scripture, over the years, I've had different definitions of what a Christian is. And I remember the first time I was challenged with that. I had the privilege of leading one of my family members to the Lord. And he's since passed on and I trust gone to be with Jesus. But he asked me, Mozzie, what's the definition of a Christian? And I can't remember what my answer was to him. But you just think for yourself now. If somebody asked you, what's the definition of a Christian? What would you say? Think about it. What would you say? Some people say it's somebody who believes in Jesus. Someone says somebody knows Jesus. Somebody who does certain things. It's somebody who exhibits certain character traits in their lives. Somebody who can, some people say, depends on the fruit that you see in their lives. So we have various ideas as to what the definition of a Christian is. Now, as of what's today's date? 8th of March, 2020. Where I am at as Mozzie, this is my definition of a Christian. Somebody who lives and loves like Jesus. Because last night I had a conversation that celebrated a 50th birthday with a friend, old school friend, and I was talking with somebody that I also had the privilege of leading to the Lord many, many years ago. He's today making disciples himself. He said what gets him so much is that he sits with people in their weekly care groups or their weekly Bible study. And they talk about the Word and they get into the Word and they say they know Jesus and they say they love Jesus. And on the weekends, you see them live completely differently. And he says he experiences the frustration that he goes through when he sees this in a person's life. And I shared that with him. I said, well, that's why. When it comes to Christianity and walking with the Lord, listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen, fruit is everything. Fruit is everything. There's no ways you will ever find apples on a fig tree. You're never going to find apples on a fig tree. That's why. Unless you're seeing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, I will always question, what is that root? What's the root? What's deep down inside the heart? What's happening in that person's life spiritually? What goes on in that person's mind? And Jesus says this. This is what somebody is like who hears what I have to say, listens, and then applies it and follows it. And Jesus says this. So in other words, hierdie eienskappe gaan net daar sou wees in 'n persoon wat hoor en dan volg. Somebody who lives and loves like Jesus. And Luke 6 verse 47 and 48, he says, it's like a person building a house who digs deep. Everybody say deep. It's only in the gospel according to Luke does it say, yeah, he digs deep. He digs deep. You see, if I'm only going to live for Jesus when he gives me everything I want, then my relationship with him is very, very shallow. If I'm only going to pray when I get answers, then my hunger for God is very, very little. If I'm only going to testify of God's goodness when it's only going good in my life, then I'm like a mushroom Christian. Mushroom, some mornings you wake up and there's a mushroom. And before the sun has even set, that mushroom is not there. Because the Jack Russells have destroyed it. Life has happened. May we not be like mushrooms. Mushrooms pop up overnight. And sometimes if you eat the wrong mushrooms, it's like, you start like seeing all things. The trees take off. And all sorts of things happen. But how's about a Californian redwood tree? We've seen the size of those trees. They are, hulle is baie groot. It's massive. Dink net hoe diep is daai goed se wortels. It's deep. And Jesus says, this man digs his foundation deep. And he lays the foundation on what? Solid rock. Something that has stood the test of time longer than Charles Glass. Hello. Stood the test of time. And he says, when, not if, depending on where you stay, or if, depending on how much you earn, or if, depending on what qualification you've got, or the color of your skin. when the floodwaters rise. Met ander woorde, dis 'n kwessie van tyd. Listen, Jesus told the disciples to get into the boat and he knew exactly the storm was coming. He knew that the storm was coming. And it says, when the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. This builder's house stood the test of the storm because his house was built when? While the storm was raging and it really started coming and the waves were crashing and the water was rising, he decided, you know what? Now's a good time. This little tent of mine is no longer good enough. Let me build a house. No. Before the storm came, he built a foundation on the rock, and he built it deep, and he built it well. So God's encouragement to all of us this morning is make sure that we are storm ready. I preached a message called that 2009, storm ready. Make sure that we are ready for the storm. Make sure. Now, how many of you like to experience the gift, the gifting of a prophet, a genuine prophet, where a prophet comes and hy kan seker goed voorspel wat nog gaan gebeur in die toekoms? How many of you like that? It's cool, isn't it? It's lekker. Well, guess what? There's one in the house this morning. I'm a prophet of the Lord, and I'm going to tell you this morning, there's trouble coming, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So spreek die Here. There's trouble coming. There's tough times coming. There are hard times coming. There are questions coming for which we don't have the answers in this lifetime. No theologian, no preacher, no Bible student will be able to give you an answer. There are things that are going to happen in our lives for which we do not have the answers. I've just prophesied. Hopefully you know. There are tough times coming, ladies and gentlemen. So, we better get our act together and make sure that our lives are storm ready. Make sure that our foundation is solid. Make sure that it is solid. It is sound doctrine, solid scriptural principles. Make sure that we dig deep. What does digging deep mean? If you meditated on the Word of God X amount in 2019, it might not be enough for 2020. If you read the scriptures a certain amount in 2019 and served you well, it might not be enough for 2020. If you testified, if you believed, if you rejoiced, if you praised, if you gave, if you sowed, it might not be enough for 2020. Who knows what the rest of our future holds? So these things are going to happen. It's best that we do these things before the storm comes. We need to be spiritually ready. And we need our daily spiritual food, whether there's a storm in our lives or not. That story of that Christian that was once challenged by a guy said, so how many years have you been going to church? And the guy said, oh, X amount of years. He said, oh, okay, do you go all the time? He says, yes, I enjoy church. I really love my church. I never miss church for anything. How many sermons have you heard? So they worked it out quickly and worked out to several hundred, maybe a couple of thousand. And the guy said, oh, that's incredible. He says, so tell me, how many of those can you remember? And I was like, I don't know. Sometimes I... How many of you remember what the theme was before keeping our eyes on Jesus? Oh, okay, maybe you know people in other churches. Okay, before finances, I don't know, it was last year. But think about it. And this guy was like, for a part of oomblik was hy so half en half stom gestaan. And he said, you know what, I don't remember all the sermons that my pastors preached. I don't remember them. But you know what, I've been married to my lovely wife for 37 years. And my wife is an incredibly good cook. I really, really love her cooking. And my wife has made me a square meal every day, all the years of our married life. And I don't remember all the meals that she has made me. But I can tell you this much. If it wasn't for those meals that my wife has made me, I wouldn't be alive today. So I cannot remember the sermons and the themes and the titles of my pastor's messages. But were it not for those messages that he has preached, I would not be alive today having this conversation with you. So we need our daily bread, whether there is a storm in our life or not. So folks, there's only two times that we should be praising the Lord and living for the Lord. That's when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it. Hallelujah. It's not complicated. It's very simple. We must have our daily sustenance, our daily spiritual food. Luke 11 and verse 3, it says, "Give us each day the food we need. Give us this day our daily bread." Our daily bread. We need this to be storm ready. Ants are very interesting creatures. How many of you know that we never win in the war against nature? You know that. You know that, right? Nature will always prevail over us. And nature doesn't need people. People need nature. We need, nature doesn't need us. You leave nature up to itself, everything will be in perfect balance, in perfect harmony. Some things eat things and other things get eaten by other things, and it will all just run on perfectly. We come and we mess things up. Nature doesn't need us. We need nature. And these ants, man, I just manage the ants. I don't win the victory over the ants in my home. Ek weet nie van jou nie, waar jy bly nie en wat jy gebruik nie, but in our home, the ants will always prevail. They always prevail. And we can learn from these little things. I like sending them to Jesus. Now you're going to meet Jesus. And if you attend our care group, every now and again, we hear a little cricket and I say, hear the cricket and say, right, you're now going to meet Jesus. Say hi to Jesus. Hallelujah. And the ants, very interesting creatures. It says, they're not strong, but they store up food all summer. When do they store up food? When? That's significant because summer speaks of plentiful and abundant and it's lekker and it's just good in summer. Summertime. That's when the ants start storing up food. That's when they do it. Those little creatures prepare for the winter months when there's no food, when there's nothing, when everything's dying. That's when the ants start storing up food. We can learn from those little creatures. They make provision for the lean, tough times when it's going good. We should do the same as well. Don't wait until our boats are so full that we've got to go and wake Jesus up while he's dossing on the cushion and say, "Don't you even care? Let's not wait until the devil starts telling us lies and we start wondering and doubting. Does God really care?" Let's recognize and discern and see the times and see what it is that's happening around us. Just look at what's happening in the economy in this nation, politically in this nation, socially in people's lives. What's happening? What's becoming acceptable? What's becoming norm? We are living in the time, as prophesied by Isaiah, that says that there's going to come a time when what is good will be called bad and what's bad will be called good. We're in those times. Folks, that's where we're at. That's the reality. May God help us to make sure that we are storm ready. We are storm ready. Our expectation must be that God is going to bless us. But be ready for the persecution when it comes. We've already heard from a prophet this morning that persecution is coming. Why does persecution come? Well, did you look at your face in the mirror this morning? Why are you so reluctant to answer? Some of you, and some of you, I can tell you didn't. I'm just kidding. Praise God, we can make jokes with each other. But you know why? Persecution's coming because you are you. Because whether you like it or not, whether you think it or not, you're made in the image of God and the devil is out to get you because of that. Before you testify, before you getuig, before you believe, before you do anything Christian, the devil has come for you just because you're you. Because that's who he is and that's his nature. That's his mandate. His mandate in his portfolio is to steal, to kill and destroy, and he's coming for you just because you're you. Let alone when you start living for Jesus. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yes, it says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. And we know that persecution comes in our lives for the word's sake. When the word is in our lives, the devil comes. Now he has the antics of the devil. I'm going to start to land this thing now and bring this to a close. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He walks around like a roaring lion. But the good news is, it says he's like a roaring lion. So expect God to bless you, but don't be surprised when persecution comes. Why can we expect God to bless us? Luke 12, 32. It says, do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good treasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. And we know that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So expect God to bless you, but don't be surprised when persecution comes. Dis ekwesie van tyd. Be ready. Make sure you have your daily spiritual food. Don't wait until you're starving and weak and dear, or you're so food that you're so food. You're so tired, you can't even lift the food to your mouth. Jy's net op. Don't wait till then. Stay strong. And if you must rest, rest. Rest a while. Take a break. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't become discouraged. Keep on. Keeping on. In days gone by, a horse was a very, very powerful tool in warfare. They didn't have motorized transport. They had horses. So a horse was a very valuable it's like a weapon in a time of war to be able to engage the enemy or get away from the enemy if your butt was being whipped. Proverbs 21 and 31, it says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle. So the horse is ready. But deliverance is of the Lord. Make sure we're ready. Let's never underestimate the devil's intentions, but let's also never forget God's power of deliverance. Don't be surprised when things happen. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 to 9. Give all your cares and worries to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. And then we've looked at verse 8. Watch out for the devil, because this is what he does. Verse 9. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. The devil walks around like a roaring lion. Jesus is the lion. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Some of you are excited about that. Revelations 5 and verse 5 speaks about Jesus being the lion of the tribe of Judah. So I wonder, as we close this morning, are you storm ready? What does your boat currently look like? If it's filled with water to the point where it's brimming over, maybe you've got to go to Jesus in your life and say, Lord, I want you to wake up. I need you now, Lord. And that's fine. That's why we come to church, because we need the Lord. Amen. Maybe this has been a well-timed wake-up call in your life. We say, Mozzie, I know I need to be storm ready. Maybe you've built on a weak foundation. Maybe the storm has already come in your life and alles wat vir jou belangrik is al reeds plat geslaan. Maybe it's a failed relationship. Maybe it's failed finances. Maybe it's a health difficulty, something that you're battling with. Whatever it is, I don't know. But this morning we can come to the wise master builder, Jesus, who makes us wise master builders. My encouragement for all of us this morning is that we make sure that our foundation is Him. And Him alone. So right there where you're seated, I'm going to ask that you allow the Holy Spirit to examine your life. And you've heard this, and I'm going to say, let the Holy Spirit filter out everything that is from Mozzie. That He just filters all of that stuff and nonsense out. That all that you're left with is the pure, sweet, powerful, loving Word of your Father this morning. God Almighty, Jesus, your Savior, your Lord. And then the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that which is identifying in your life. And if you need to start over again on a new foundation, then do so. Throw yourself at the mercy, at the foot of the cross, at the feet of Jesus. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you. And maybe your foundation is already strong, that it's on solid rock, and you just need more wisdom from the Lord. And say, Lord, help me build more, Lord. What's the next thing that I need to do to make sure that I'm storm ready? Maybe you're at the place in your life where the storm is already, it's already broken and it's raging. You're in the middle of the battle right now. Precious son and daughter of God, stand strong. Stand strong. And find the deliverance of your Savior in the middle of that thing. And fathers, we your people seek your face this morning. Lord, we lean into what you've got planned for us and in store for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we can be ready when the devil comes. We can be ready, Lord God, when persecution comes. And Father, we do our best. But may we also lean and trust on you to do the rest. Lord, we don't want to be like King Asa that didn't turn to you at all. He just sought the help of the doctors and he ended up dying. May we not be like that, Lord. May we make use of the people that come by in our lives, speedboat after speedboat, and the helicopters and the people that you send into our lives to rescue us and to help us in our walk. May we seek your deliverance for wherever we are at. Lord, I pray for us as your people this morning, Lord. May we be storm ready. May we be strong, Lord. So that when the devil comes, we might be able to resist him. Stand firm, Lord God, so that he will end up fleeing for us. Lord, I pray your supernatural provision for every person that is trusting you for financial breakthrough. Every person that is dared to put you to the test. Quietly, secretly, without anybody knowing. Lord, would you reward them openly that the world can see that you are good. Every person, Lord God, that is at the place where they want to throw in the towel and just give up, strengthen them and encourage them, Lord. And Lord, may we just be real with each other. When we're tired, let us say so to each other. And when we're discouraged, let's be real and tell each other, Lord, to be there for each other and not try and pretend that we're something that we are not or someone that we're not. We just be real with each other and open and honest with each other. Thank you that we can be part of this beautiful body, Lord, the body of Christ. Thank you that we can be there for each other, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you peace. Have an awesome week. We love and appreciate you all. Thank you very, very much for coming. God bless you.